nonstop Marvel all the time here at the Bender Brothers Podcast for the Marvel TV show Falcon and the Winter Soldier, episode 1. And I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett. Thank you for coming back and joining us again.
It's been forever.
I know, but last time we talked to you guys, we were talking about Scarlet Witch and
That was back when there was a pandemic.
There's a pandemic.
It was such a long time ago.
We're in a new land right now. We're going to talk about the show Falcon and Winter Soldier. We're going to spoil the heck out of it. We're talking about the first episode called New World Order. It's going to be a different podcast than the last time because
we're going to have English accents.
WandaVision was a mystery, and this one is more straightforward for the most part. So actually, when I was taking notes on my second viewing, I was like, I'm probably not going to take that much notes because I'm not going to get into the action and all that. Surprise, surprise, I took a copious amount of notes that I thought were important. We'll go through it. I also realized the first episodes of TV shows that we do podcasts for, if you want to check out those podcasts, go to iTunes or any place you get your podcasts. You can see all of our previous ones or go to BennettBrothersPodcast.wordpress.com. Anytime we do our first podcast, there's so much more information to write down. There's like establishing information. I have to get more actors' names. I have to do all this stuff because I don't have to, but I do. I require this of myself. So it just has more information. We are dedicated for you.
So dedicated, we have a Patreon page. What's it called?
Patreon.com. Yeah.
/.
Better Brothers Podcast.
Where we actually do mini casts. And we're only putting this out for anybody who's new to this. We won't do this all the time. We'll just do it all the time. And we just put out a new mini cast on the films of Christopher Nolan. Yeah, we went through that. That was kind of fun. And at that website, if you want to help out the podcast that you're listening to, it only costs $1 or so, or you can do more than that. And it basically helps keep the light on and helps us put this podcast out. So Bender Brothers Podcast. Go ahead, Joel, say it again because I'm going to mess it up again.
We've only been patrons.
Patreon.com/BennettBrothersPodcast.
I just like that you said to keep the light on. Like, we have one light. It's hanging in between us right now.
Yes.
It's swinging
back and
forth.
Damn it.
What are we, in Streetcar Named Desire? What is this? So, yes, go there. We appreciate it. So we're going to talk about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. If you're coming back after listening to our previous mystery podcast of
Mystery Box, it's the Mystery Box show. That was a Mystery Box show.
WandaVision, this is a little bit different of an experience because it's not the trying to figure out what's going on week by week. This is more of a trying to talk about what's the story moving forward. It's not a mystery. It's a different podcast.
I was wanting to see where you're going to go with that.
I don't know where I'm going with it.
No.
So let's find out.
Let's find out.
I also would like to point out that this is only a 6-episode miniseries as opposed to one
that was longer episodes. So in reality, it's going to be a similar amount of time.
Yes. Maybe. We'll see.
It is. We know these are going to be longer. They're not going to be half hours. It's going to be 49. I'm just saying that I think they're close to the same. Just over a shorter period of time.
Yeah.
Joel, what'd you think of the episode?
Well, before we get into that, I wanted to, you know, this show was created by Malcolm Spellman. So he created all the episodes. It's also directed by Carrie Skoglund. She's going to direct all 6 episodes. She's done The Loudest Voice, Handmaid's Tale. She did an episode of The Punisher. She did some Walking Dead episodes. She's done television shows for a very long time. She's done 1 or 2 episodes here and there for so many television shows. So it's good to see her get, like, her own show, kind of, and work her way up to get to this point. So this episode was heavy action in the beginning and then a lot of establishing our characters we haven't seen since Endgame and reestablishing where they live in life and how they live in life and what's happening. I am intrigued. It's a movie. This is now, unlike WandaVision, which is a mystery show, this is a movie. Now, I could probably watch this all in one sitting. And that would be okay. But now that we have a week to talk about this in between, we're going to try to figure out how Mephisto is linked into this somehow. We're going to find out if Reed Richards is going to show up. So, I mean, it's going to be a fun experience to go through. And I'm excited. It's not what I expected, but it's not what I don't want. So we'll see how this goes. I'm a little apprehensive more than I was in WandaVision for some reason.
That's weird.
What about you?
Oh, this is great. This is exactly what I thought it was going to be, which is a Marvel show. An action show. I still think there'll be mysteries involved. I think WandaVision set up in a first time for the Marvel show, and it was all about what's going on because it was built into the beginning of the show. This one, we think we know what our characters are doing, but we don't know what's going on. We don't know Zemo. We don't know any of the that stuff. So it doesn't have the premise of what's everything going on, but it still has a mystery. And like I said, it intrigued me. I enjoyed it. I have issues with some of the story that's happening forward, but I think that's the story they're telling. So we'll find out once we get into those how much we like the actual parts of the story they're telling, if that's the story I want to hear versus what I don't want to hear. But overall, I enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, I also think you mentioned this is an action show. If you get rid of the action in the beginning, which was phenomenal, so I don't want to get rid of that. But if you get rid of that, you get rid of a little bit of a flashback scene with Winter
Soldier. Which is another action scene, yeah.
It's very short. Very short. But we're talking like 3 minutes of the actual screen time on a 49-minute, and then the action at the beginning. There's no action in this outside of the opening scene, which I don't want to take away because it's phenomenal. There's not action in this.
It's a setup. It's setting all the pieces.
So it's hard. I mean, like, we got to be careful going, this is an action show. We could be getting like action sequences here and there in short bursts, but this could be Winter Soldier and be spy show or something like
that. That's exactly what it's going to be. Spy show is an action show. I will say this. There's a famous spy out there called James Bond, and it's a spy show, but it's an action movie. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, but when there's action, I guess you can say WandaVision's an action show because it has action and all that kind of stuff, but it's also more than that, right? It's a mystery show. It's got a lot more going on. So I want to say this.
I'm not into labels myself.
So. That's true. It's true. Jerry's not into labels. He all of his cans in his pantry have no labels on them.
Stop looking at my cans.
So let's go into the episode here and see what we think and how we feel about where this is going. So I'm not going to get too crazy with this. I actually wasn't going to take a lot of notes. But I have a lot of notes.
He's going to get crazy. Don't even undercut that. You are.
We literally start off this show with Sam with the shield, because that's where we ended up with Endgame. We hear a little Captain America talking. But Sam doesn't want the shield. And that literally goes right into our opening action sequence, which I'm not going to... There's not a lot to talk about, but it was...
It's great.
It's great. I want to see the making of, because I want to know what's real, what's not. You know, like, did they actually parachute for some of this? I don't know why they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. They have all these stunt actors who do these parachuting. They love doing this stuff. But obviously, he's the Falcon, and he's flying around. So they're not... He's going to be digital for some of it.
We get the return of Batroc Zalipa.
Yep. The... played by Georges St-Pierre. He's a UFC fighter. He was in Captain America Winter Soldier.
He's at the beginning of it. He's the one on the ship who, think about it, I think he's actually being employed in Winter Soldier by Nick Fury.
Yeah.
So
by SHIELD.
He's being employed by Nick Fury. That whole complex with Hydra and whatnot. He looks like he's a villain in the first part, but you know he is. But he's actually being hired by the good guy, but he doesn't know that because he's an independent mercenary.
Yeah.
As a comic book character goes, this character has been around since at least the 70s. It is a character that fights Captain America and other heroes. He's literally called La Leaper because he leaps around and he kicks. And he's very efficient in that respect, but he's no super soldier. So
and he's awesome. I mean, if you watch the fight scene between him and Captain America in The Winter Soldier is one of the best like mano-a-mano fight scenes. That little like standoff that they had.
Not as good as really... Cap fighting Cap.
Well, I mean, that was America's ass fighting, you know. But his fights, the choreography of that fight scene is really well done because... that he can do those fighting moves, the actor.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy to see him back, and I'm also very happy to see that he didn't get killed in this.
Yes, he does not get killed in it.
Which is great.
There he goes, disappears. He will return in Expendables 4.
He will leap again.
We get to meet First Lieutenant Joaquin Torres, who's played by Danny Ramirez, who was in a couple episodes of The Gifted, Marvel's The Gifted. Yikes. That's canon now. That's in the MCU. No, it is not. He's also going to be in the new Top Gun film. And Red Wing is back, Jerry. Red Wing. I don't know. That's why Red Wing makes that sound.
Okay. First off, the actual character you were talking about, his contact on the ground.
Yes.
The character's name was what again?
Joaquin Torres.
Yeah. You're making him sound French, and I think he's
maybe
Latin American.
Maybe my spell check changed it, but I have Joaquin.
Okay. In the comic books, he
is
eventually...
Joaquin Phoenix?
No, I can't say it.
No, I can't either.
You destroyed the word.
It's Joaquin. I don't know.
Taurus. He in the comics eventually becomes the quote unquote Falcon during the time period where the Falcon became Captain America. Guess what? That Captain America becomes the Falcon again. So I'm not sure if he is Little Falcon or whatever. I haven't followed that character. It was a short period of time that Falcon was Cap, you know, but like a year or two. And in that's not that long in comics when there's only 12 to 24 issues in a year. So, yes, does that mean that he'll be taking that role coming up in this series? Possibly. We'll find out.
Maybe. He is only listed in one episode on IMDb where a lot of the people are listed in six episodes, but... Oh, no, you know, it's IMDb. Sometimes that's wrong.
Let me ask you, what was the purpose of Falcon's mission here?
To get back this lieutenant before he enters Libya space from the LAF.
This one lieutenant on an American ship that had other Americans already killed on it, right?
Yes.
So they killed the other...
LAF was trying to capture him.
Why him?
Because he is someone of importance.
So we don't find out?
I don't believe so.
Okay, I didn't remember. I was like, I don't remember them saying why.
I mean, it could have been part of a monologue dump in the beginning, but yeah.
Okay.
They want to get him before he enters Libyan airspace, which is interesting because later on they mention how after the blip, the alliances of the world sort of changed. People are now allied differently, the countries of the world. And I'd be curious to know more about that. They don't get into that, but I'm like, who's the United States allies now? Is it someone who was a enemy before, but now they've become an ally? Clearly not Libya. Libya is still not a friend of ours, I guess. Tunisia is, though, because that's where they go next. We are on the ground in Tunisia. We have Torres and Sam. They are having a little get-down. They have a budding relationship. Hopefully this does go somewhere. We get a mention, not of the LAF, we get a mention of another group called the Flag Smashers, who believe the world was better before the blip. And, you know, makes them sound evil, and then their ultimate goal is they want a world unified without borders. And part of you goes, well, that's actually not a terrible thing, you know? I mean, it is, but it isn't, you know? So are they bad? Are they good? They're made to be an evil organization at this point.
The name comes from the comic book supervillain Flag Smasher, who is a Captain America villain, created in 1985. And, yeah, we'll see if this is just, if there is going to be a quote-unquote Flag Smasher, or if it'll just encompass this group as it goes along.
We also find out in this conversation that most of the world doesn't know what happened to Steve Rogers. So we know the world knows what happened to Tony Stark because he's got murals all over the place. He died sacrificing himself to stop Thanos. But people don't know what happened to Steve Rogers because he got old. And he went off. So is he on a moon base somewhere? Like, that's an interesting concept that, like, the world doesn't know he's dead, but they don't. Maybe they do, or...
I thought that was addressed in here in the Captain America, where one of the pieces says that he's retired.
Oh, he's retired.
It's a blink and you miss it, but obviously you can freeze frame it.
They wouldn't know...
It says he's retired.
And at this point, they wouldn't know he's... Like, they would...
They don't know every single detail.
The people of the Earth, they don't know about the time travel. So they,
we don't know what they know in that
respect.
Well,
they know that Steve Rogers, they don't know Steve Rogers got old.
No, they know he retired.
They know he retired. So they're like, he retired a young man. Hey, okay. Steve, come back. When are you coming back? What's going on? Come back. You're not old yet. But we know he's an old man. So that's the world. It's interesting to see what the world knows that it happened. We talked about WandaVision. I think it was WandaVision. How certain people knew what actually happened, like, ooh, she put up a good fight against Thanos. Like, how did people know that detail? Who's relaying all that information? Who was on the ground? It wasn't any of the wizards who were going to go to the governments and be like, here's what happened. Like, someone had to relay that information. So that's an interesting thought. So I like that kind of stuff. I think we're obviously going to delve more into the world of Captain America being gone, and this is sort of his tribute, the way Spider-Man Far From Home was sort of Tony Stark's tribute in memoriam to his death.
I noticed I was mentioning Flag Smasher. In the comic books, the original Flag Smasher's name was Carl Morgenthau. I believe that's how it's pronounced. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But in this show, when we have the sequence coming up that Joel will talk about when the Flag Smashers are handing out the masks, the person handing it out looks to be the actress Erin Kellman, who played Enfys Nest in Solo, a Star Wars story, Solo. And her character name is actually Carly or Gentile, which means that she may be a version that they've just decided to gender swap the character.
Yeah, I, you know what? Again, watching it the second time, I couldn't even see who that character was. Like, if you'd have been like, that was a woman, I would have been like, I'd be shocked. Because yeah, I just couldn't, the stature of it, the person was genderless, and I just had no idea. Like, mm-hmm. even watching a second time, you can't tell. But obviously, maybe this is a spoiler that we're giving you, that that's probably...
I believe the character's name is out there. Well, yeah.
Morgenthau is the character's name. Carly Morgenthau.
Okay.
That's how you say that one. I knew how to say that one.
I say it's Morgantu.
Morgantu?
That's what I said.
Was she the villain of King Arthur? I don't know.
Yes, Morgana.
We go back to Washington, D.C., where we have Sam at the memorial for Steve at the Smithsonian. And we get a nice little cameo here. Didn't expect this. I don't know if you. We get Rhodey. You expected Rhodey to make an appearance in this show?
Yes, I did. Well, he does have. Shame. He does have a. I wasn't sure that, but if anyone was gonna appear, I thought it would be him.
It would be him.
Yeah, and it was. I know he's got a TV series that they're gonna be filming for him down the road.
If Chris Hemsworth showed up, would that shock you?
Yeah, that was never gonna happen. This is gonna have in the world that they live in. It's like, so well, normally it would have been Black Panther. Or I'm sorry, it would have been Black Widow, and since she wasn't gonna show up because she did.
Eric Bana showed up. Would that shock you?
Eric Bana.
Not Eric Bana. Eric Bana would shock you.
If the original Hulk, you're absolutely right. That would have shocked me.
That has nothing to do with the MCU. Well, I mean, like, what if Edward Norton showed up?
What are you doing?
But I'm saying, like, you're like, yeah, it didn't shock you because you assumed he was going to show up.
Because I knew that there was a cameo.
What the hell's going to shock you? You knew there was a cameo?
I knew that there was, like, returning. I had no idea who. I was like, oh, and you know, don't be surprised if, and I was like, okay, so that was. I can't remember where I had gotten that information.
What if it's Evan Peters? Because Quicksilver, if he showed up, would that surprise you?
That would have surprised me, yes.
But why? He already exists in this universe now.
Apparently, it was Rhodey all along.
So Rhodey is there, which is great. They're there with another official who we don't have a name for, or don't have any information on. I don't know if he's going to come into play again. We do see him later, but I think he's just a government official. Sam is giving the shield to the exhibit. He doesn't want it, so he's giving it there. They end up going, him and Rhodey go down to see the exhibit. I want to point out, there's a lot of Easter eggs here. Do you want to get into those Easter eggs that are part of this exhibit that we saw?
Only if it's relevant.
Winter Soldier. I mean, there's just stuff they continued on. Yeah. From the Winter Soldier.
I didn't want to go through it either
because you can go online and take a look at that. I got to say, I'm not a fan of the Captain America display with the shield and the outfit, the World War One outfit. Is like, there's like some black drape behind a case that holds it. I'm like, that's boring. Like, they could have, it's Captain America's shield. You could have done a better display for it. I also want to point this out here. I don't want to get too much into it, but the director has talked about, you know, this being an important scene for people of color, representation of people of color. And there's a lot of that through this episode. And there's been conversation like, that's not what it is. But like, the director's come out and said, yeah, this is pretty important. You have Rhodey and you have Sam, two African-American actors who are starring. One is starring in this show. The other one is taking over the mantle of an Iron Man character and getting his own show, and they're having this conversation on screen. And outside of Black Panther, we haven't seen that in the MCU. So this is, you know, it has a little bit more of a weight to it. You can look in deeply to it, or you can just enjoy the show and not even worry about it. But I just wanted to point that out. I'm not going to get into all the details of it, but I thought it was important that the director talked about it a little bit. Now we cut to a flashback dream sequence here with Bucky as the Winter Soldier going around assassinating people, including a witness.
Hearing his Winter Soldier music, too, which I thought was great.
Fun little scene here that gets a lot, like, they show this and you're just thinking it's a dream, but it comes back to be a big play. So here's a little mystery in the episode.
Debbie
that
got
gets
it.
Pulled
she
out.
Got that when that reveal was made. She mm-hmm. picked it up before
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, it was a nice little reveal we see later on that the guy he kills is the son of a person he's been befriending, I guess. And then we find out that Bucky he wakes up from a dream. He's seeing a psychologist played by the actor Amy Aquano.
Who called, tying into our Sons of Anarchy tie-in that Joel loves to talk about.
It is not the same actress from Mayans.
It is not.
That actress is Ada Maris.
I think you're just mispronouncing.
I swear to God. Jerry's been pushing these guys. That's the actress from Mayans, the new Sons of Anarchy mm-hmm. spinoff. And it turns out it's not.
I don't believe that.
Jerry's going to go look at this just to make to prove me wrong. I don't actually have that much time to do it. But I went into it. Actually, I was going to mention this before the podcast. Just to tell you, but now we're in the podcast. I don't care. I have to tell you. So he's seeing a psychologist. Again,
I'm going to edit this, so I don't care what you say.
He's seeing the psychologist. There's a lot of humor in this. Bucky brings a lot of humor to the show, I find. He talks about Senator Atwood, who was working with Hydra. So he's going... He's making amends by getting rid of the old parts of Hydra that are still within the government or who worked with Hydra. It's fun. I think this interesting thing has a list of names that he's crossing off his list. I don't know if you want to get into the names on there. Do you have that pulled up?
I do not. I mean, there's...
Okay, there's some hidden Easter eggs in there, and Zemo's on that list. So
there's a name people. Connected to the I, Tonya movie that...
An actor.
Sebastian Stan... With. Was in I, Tonya, and so they actually have a taint there, but yeah.
We also get a mention of a Congressman Lockhart. The senator and congressman, they are not in any other Marvel movies. I thought it would have been nice if they would have taken one of the Congress people or someone from the Marvel Cinematic Universe that we've seen before, if they would have put them in there. I thought that would have been a nice little touch. Like if it had been Gary Shandling.
He right? passed away.
But he passed, and obviously he passed away in real life, but it would have been fun if they brought his character back.
Or yeah,
if they brought,
but you can make the world too small that way sometimes.
You can, and obviously time has passed, but senators are senators for a very long time in America. So it would have been cool. I thought it was a little missed opportunity, but it was fun to see that. And I want to point out the name drop of Wakanda, how Bucky says he's been fighting ever since, you know, the 40s. And the only time he's ever had peace was when he was in Wakanda. And I thought that was an interesting conversation. Bucky goes out with his friend Yori, who's played by Ken Takamoto, who's actually, right now, he's 87 years old.
And my first thought was, oh my God, is this guy? Because they were talking, yep. And Bucky was so comfortable around him. I thought it was supposed to maybe represent one of the winners, Howling Commandos.
Who's still alive, potentially, if at that age. I mean, they'd have to be
it's
that
a stretch,
age
I know.
To be that old. It's great to see him doing this. I thought it was funny. I went through his film history, and he's done a lot of television shows back to like 1980s or 90s. So he hasn't been on TV that long. But in 2001, he played a character in the TV show Angel called Old Chinese Man. So he was playing an old Chinese man in 2001. So 20 years later, he's still playing an old guy.
I believe the name is pronounced Old Chinese Man.
Old Chinese Man.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. And Yori hooks him up with a date with Leah, who's played by Miki Ishikawa, who was in The Terror. She was in the movie Funny People. And it's a little, if you look at it in this way, a little creepy. She's a child compared to Bucky in a lot of ways. I mean, I don't know if you're going to look at that way.
But... You can't, because then he can never be with anybody other than someone who's 106. It doesn't, mm-hmm. doesn't matter.
Well, it's true. I mean, this goes into... I always think about this kind of stuff, and like Justice League, for example, and Wonder Woman's like 5,000 years old, and Steve Trevor is...
Yeah, you can't. And also, it doesn't work in this situation because he didn't live all that time. He slept.
True. He was frozen.
He only was awake here for a little bit and awake there for a little bit.
So I wonder how... I mean, he mentions later on he's 106 by how many times he's revolved around the sun, right? Even though he's been in ice, he's 106. I wonder how old he actually has lived, how long he's been in ice and how long he's been... Outside of ice. I'd just be curious.
106, you know, 100 and, let's say 120, or let's say, so 120 minus 106 is 4. So he was born in 1914. So 14, so 24, 34, he would have been 20. So by 1941, 42, he would have been high, older 20s. So he wasn't young. He should have been more like 21, I would think.
He might have been. He was one of the first people to enlist in the war, though, so he could have been older.
Yeah, it's just I'm saying I'm in my head. I mean, this is.
I mean, thing, if you look at Dum Dum Dugan, like they were all the Howling Commandos are. A little
well, those are guys. Yeah, they were in World War.
I want to point out that I also mentioned. I said World War One Captain America outfit. I meant to say World War Two Captain America outfit. So for you at home listening, for me to make my corrections, here it is. We cut back to. Sam going home. Sam is actually from Louisiana.
Not
now,
in the comics.
Not in the comics. He's from...
Brooklyn?
Brooklyn. We get to meet his sister.
He does have a sister in the comics.
Sarah Wilson, who's played by... I got the phonetic saying for this because... Oh, this is... Adepero Aduya. Adepero Aduya is the actress's name. She was in The Big Short. She was in 12 Years a Slave. She's in a bunch of other stuff. So we get to see her. I guess she becomes a superhero at some point, I believe, maybe.
I believe her name is Little Dab Oduya.
Wow. We also get to eat. We find out he has a couple nephews. I won't get into those actors, but he has a couple nephews.
Who get to call him?
Uncle Sam. And she calls him, yeah, Uncle Sam, which is great. I thought, I didn't catch that in the first time watch through. Really? But I really caught it on the second
time. Uncle Sam wants you.
So Sam wants her to keep the boat, which is tied into keeping the house. Sam has a weird, irrational attachment to the boat. I understand the house, but the boat that's falling apart, like, Sam, what are you going to do? Be on this boat all the time? You're taking government contracts and doing government stuff. Like, what are you doing? You don't have time for a boat. You're very selfish at this moment.
He is very selfish.
But I understand the house, though. Like, I can get his more of attachment to a house that's like, maybe the house is a little bit, I don't know. He does need a house. So we have a little, we're getting a lot of mundane backstory stuff here. And they actually talk about this in the dialogue of the show, especially in a scene coming up here that I know Jerry was very happy.
Is this done to just make them more relatable and less superhero?
It's very Captain America when he first comes out of the ice and he has to now adjust to this world. We get to see him just kind of living life. Like, what does a superhero do when they're not superheroing?
Mm-hmm.
Bucky is on his date. They play Battleship. It's a nice little scene. He has the cat waving lucky arm. I think it's a lucky arm, but it's funny because it's a reminder. Like, he has a arm.
No, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about it.
Stop pointing out my arm. That's what I thought about.
That's funny.
Bucky ends up leaving the date abruptly. I didn't know why at this point, but it's like Leah's being very morbid. She's like, what do you call a parent who's lost a son? They don't have a name for it because it's the worst thing in the world. And she's like, and I'm out. Woo, that's a good first date conversation starter. so he takes off. But he has a reason. He goes to Yori's place. And we see that Yori has a shrine built to his son, and this is where we get the evidence. We get the thing that Yori's son is the kid that
he killed.
Winter Soldier killed. So he's trying to make amends, and he really can't. He can't be like, hey, I'm the Winter Soldier, I'm sorry.
Why did he leave to go to him at that moment?
Because she was reminding him. She.
So then he's like, I have to get there and do what? And do what?
Well, I'm sure he's supposed to go there and be like, listen, I killed your son. I'm sorry for what I did. That's what the psychologist wants him to do, is go and make amends.
But that's not making amends. That's just relieving his guilt and making someone else hurt.
Making someone hurt, but he's giving...
No, he's doing... That's a selfish thing to
Yori,
do.
Leah mentions that Yori is suffering more because he doesn't know how his son died.
What if and he tells Bucky, him, the son was bleeding out and he cried for 3 hours. Well, now I feel terrible.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't have any kids, but like, if your kid dies, would you want to know how they died, or would you want to?
Depends on
like,
what if it's
died?
Really, really bad.
I don't know.
I mean, then you got to live with that for the rest of your life.
Well, he's 87, so I mean, he's not living much longer. But
all right, well, that.
But
that
I'm just saying,
that.
Like, I don't know. He doesn't tell him. Maybe he has that conversation and goes, "I don't want to tell you because
no,
it's going to
no
be."
No point.
But he, it's not about it's.
The whole point
if
of
I'm
this
looking
scene
at it from
is,
Bucky's point of view, it's supposed to be him getting that burden off his shoulders by saying, hey, here's what happened to you.
How'd that work out when you told Tony Stark?
It's easier. I think the psychologist is looking at it from like an easy point of view, but it's like he was in a brainwashed assassin. Like, that's a little harder than just going up to your victims and being like, if you're like an alcoholic, being like, sorry, I stole
She's
your
a therapist
money.
Who specializes in this.
Not in this. This is a little
Nobody
bit
does.
More. No one specializes in this. We get to cut. We go to Torres, who gets to meet the Flag Smashers for the first time, and then we get the introduction of a supervillain or a superhero of some sort, a super person.
You like saying super?
Who has superpowers? And we don't know this person because they're wearing a mask, but we will get to know them. And I thought this might be the end for Torres here when Torres gets curb stomped,
mm-hmm.
but does not die.
Yeah, the organization basically figured out a way to. What's mm-hmm. the word? What is
crowdsource.
It? Crowdsource.
But they use the augmented reality to bring a bunch of people together who are loyal to the cause to get them to put on masks so this person can escape with duffel bags.
This is making me reevaluate what Pokemon Go's whole scenario is.
I don't know what's in the bags. Probably maybe money.
That's the look I got, yeah.
And so they're robbing this place, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to escape with all this money and stuff and get away from the... police.
Yeah. FYI, if you ever find yourself in a movie holding a gun on somebody, don't keep getting close towards them. That doesn't work that way. Lie on the ground. Now put your hands behind your back. Now keep lying there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't say move. I'll wait 20 minutes until I have somebody here to die. Don't move. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. Maybe I'll put one in your buttock.
Don't walk towards you. Don't walk in grabbing distance.
I'm not in a hurry to get you here. I've got you.
We call that tickle distance.
Yes,
you
can start tickling. Do not get into tickle distance. That is a that's a CIA term, people.
Here's a very interesting scene. Funny, but very interesting, because I think I want to talk about this a little bit. This is the loan sequence. So Sam and Sarah, they go to a bank to get the loan, which they get refused. But it gives us a lot of conversation that, one, I know Jerry loves this conversation. You know, how do the Avengers earn a living? Jerry, how do the Avengers earn a living?
Through GoFundMe pages and private contracts. And here's the trick of all this. And I don't think it's cut and dried, but obviously we're being set up with a storyline showing Falcon needing money to support his family, and he is being represented. He's representing the everyman here now, the common man, who, especially if you are a black man or in that scenario where you're trying to get a loan and you can't get it through, the world is tough, the government is tough, whatever the scenario is, they're putting him in this when in reality, if I was friends with somebody who is a multi-billionaire, and then you can say, well, I'm just, you know, you could be too proud to get it. It's like, but, you know, your access to money, like, that shouldn't be a problem. It's the same way where Superman's mom's house gets foreclosed on until your best, you know, super billionaire guy buys the bank to do it. So, yeah. But the point is I like this scene because at least the guy who's not letting them get the loan, he goes, hey, so where do you guys get your money from? Do you get it from, does Stark cover you? Whatever. And Falcon says, that's not how it works. And he doesn't elaborate on it. There's a trick to this, though, is like they're clearly not working for the government. That was the whole Sokovia thing. And even though the Sokovia Accords may or may not still be going on, I don't think they exist anymore after the Avengers saved, you know, humanity. They kind of said, okay, maybe we won't worry about these guys anymore.
We'll see if they mention it. I'm curious if they mention it.
The idea is if they were being funded by somebody who's not altruistic, then you get into the scenario of like the TV series The Boys, where it's a corporation which has its own corrupt, and it can be corrupt. It doesn't just have to be a government that's corrupt. It could be a business that's doing it. In the comics, they're very lucky that they have Tony Stark, or maybe the Justice League has Bruce Wayne, you know, some perfect multimillionaire who hopefully won't go bad to support them in money. But the TV series we're watching here wants to show the struggle of that's the story they want to tell. Is they want to just tell the Falcon, not him just flying around, but also showing him being an everyman in scenario here.
Yeah, a couple things I want to point out with this. So Sam Wilson was in the military, so he's getting military checks. Like, that's just something that he's going to be getting. He didn't like get dishonorably discharged or anything like that. He fought. He was in things. He's taking government contracts now, so he's it does have an income coming in.
What do you think? Like, if you're like in the military, when you leave, you still think you keep getting checks every month?
You do if you retire, or if you retire. I'm assuming he probably retired at some point.
Well, you don't retire. You can retire
from the military.
Yeah, and then they don't keep paying you that you're not going. You get benefits and stuff like that, but they don't keep giving you a full salary.
Some people get money from the government. It's like a pension.
Yeah, but it's not a lot of money. It's not.
I don't know.
In the military. We have family members in the military. They're not getting monthly pay. They have to go get a job. When you get out of the military, you don't have a job.
He's doing government contracts.
That's separate. Getting a government contracts is because he's stepped out, and that's
too much to get a job. I'm sure those government contracts that he's getting aren't cheap. Like, he's flying through the plane trying to rescue people.
Oh,
like,
I know. He's
like, I'm sure he's getting, I'm not sure they're not like $30 an hour. This is what you're making.
That's why he should have money. I agree with that. But I don't think he's getting any money from retiring. I should say retiring. It's honorably discharged.
Service, whatever it is. We don't know. We weren't in the military. But I'm sure there's someone out there who could explain this a little bit better to us. In the comics, I believe they get a stipend from Stark.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
like
I said.
He's like, in the comics, they actually make a point of talking about how Stark pays them money. Obviously, Stark's not there anymore.
No, and he makes foundations, and foundations are done to his mom's name.
Potts could be paying them.
Well, that's what
I said. It could also be Wakanda could be helping out in ways.
That's another thing.
It could also be any of their. There's super scientists that they have. Bruce Banner, I'm sure he's doing. He can make
Hank Pym. He already knows that.
Like, they can make money off of like one invention. Here, I made this invention. I make millions.
But
of dollars
again,
every year.
That's not what the show wants to do. It wants to show him as an everyman. So that's why they do a good job of explaining this.
So I thought this was really interesting. It's not just a greedy bank doing this, because you remember, Vision was able to get a a house. Right? Vision got a lease on a lot to build a dream house on, but that was before the blip. They make a mention of talking about how, you know, you could have done this. You could have come here and we would have given you a loan before all this happened. But all these people came back. Billions of people came back. They flooded the system and they all need money. So the bank had to go, we can't just give you all there's too many people. You have to have reasons. What a nice piece of writing to really define what's happening in the real world. This I know they dealt with this somewhat in WandaVision, but I like, you know, the consequences of what happens when people came back after 5 years from these people. You know, I thought that was a really interesting conversation. So I'm glad we got to talk about that. Torres, he ends up connecting with Sam over the internet, so they talk and they can see what happened because Torres recorded everything. Sam has an idea of maybe who this flag smasher is, and he's like, "No, don't say anything. Maybe it is." So, what do you think Sam is thinking there?
I have no idea.
I don't either. So he might be thinking super soldier of some sort, possibly, but we'll see. And then Sarah turns on the TV. We cut to WHIH, everyone's favorite
Joel's
in
favorite.
Network MCU.
Television station,
news station, yep. The DOD and the government, they are introducing a new Captain America. So they lied to Sam, and they're using the shield as propaganda.
What did they tell Sam?
They said that it's going to be over, and it ended with Steve. They're going to put it on display at the Smithsonian.
So you think if they didn't have the shield, they wouldn't have done Captain America? They wouldn't have just made another shield, not out of vibranium?
I'm sure they could have. They could have been planning this the whole time.
We'll see, because as we know, it's like if the new Captain America, who we do know is the character name of John Walker, who is from the comic books, who in the comics in the 80s, he took over the role of Captain America when Cap did not want to work for the government. He came and he became a separate character called the Captain. And eventually, there, you know, John Walker goes a little crazy, has a bunch of issues, but they eventually make him. He starts wearing the Captain America's Captain outfit, and he becomes the U.S. agent. And he's been a good guy and then a fuzzy gray character and then a good guy and a fuzzy gray character, a good guy. But he's mostly been a good guy.
Is he anyway related? I believe it was the Super Patriot from Jessica Jones.
No.
Okay, so it's another Patriot guy who was Captain America.
I don't think
it
was the Super Patriot. I think it was something else.
Yeah, there was that character in Jessica Jones. Never,
but the actor who we're talking about, obviously, if you look at him, that's actually Wyatt Russell, who is the son of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. And he's been in some wonderful movies, including Overlord, which he was awesome in that one. Remember that one? And then, but... Regarding,
well, he was also
go ahead.
He was in the TV show Lodge 49, which I never watched, but it looked trippy and it was crazy. Everybody Wants Some, which I thought was a great film about baseball.
It was a great movie. Yeah, he was good in that one.
And he,
you know who he's in that with? He's in that with Superman from Superman and Lois.
Oh yeah, he was in the movie Cowboys and Aliens. Remember Cowboys and Aliens? Oh, that should have been so much better. James Bond meets
Indiana Jones.
And then I want to point this out: he was in Escape from L.A.
Yes, he was.
With Kurt Russell. Wyatt Russell, in this costume, because I saw someone put these, someone had mentioned online that he has a very punchable face, and he does have like a mushy face, because his eyes are very squinty and all that, and I had to look at this, I'm like, yeah, he usually has a beard. Like, this is an actor who usually has a beard.
He does.
So for him to be freshly shaven is probably like...
You see pictures comparing him to the guy from Up, when they put him in a mask. It's really brutal.
He's got very squinty, like, cheeks and
eyes. So is Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I know. And Kurt Russell usually has a beard now in his life, so...
So this is the final shot, and obviously we're seeing Sam's reaction to this, and Sam looks not happy that this is happening.
No, because Sam turned that down.
And so he goes, well, I turned it down. And he didn't turn it down saying, I'm turning this down only because you guys are going to use the shield, right? He's like, there was no point that
we
know that.
He turned it down because he thought no one could replace Captain America. He believes, and rightfully so, no one can replace Captain America. No one can replace Steve Rogers. I'm sorry, Steve Rogers as Captain America.
So we're going to find out that you can. And that brings us to the end of the episode. Did your thoughts change at all after discussing this?
Yeah, man, I'm still excited. This is good stuff. We're still getting more Marvel every week. I want to see more. The action sequence in the beginning, I can't say how amazing that sequence was.
You can. I'll listen to you.
But I'm excited for it. I don't know where this is going. We didn't get to see Sharon Carter yet. We haven't gotten to see Baron Zemo yet. They haven't made an appearance yet. Those are two big characters.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be exciting. I want more Bucky. That's what I want. I think
I want the interaction between the two.
Yes, I do too.
And I think we're going to get that. This was fine. Mm-hmm. This is a good setup episode. Put our characters in play. We see where their life's going since we last saw them almost 2 years ago now. And I'm ready to keep going.
Think we'll get any mention of S.W.O.R.D. or any mention of what happened on WandaVision in this?
I don't believe so. This was initially supposed to come out last fall. This was supposed to be the very first show. And if you look at it, it feels like it should have been. It's like you wouldn't normally go, like, let's open up with WandaVision and really mess with people's heads.
This was supposed to be before Black Widow?
After Black Widow.
After Black Widow. So Black Widow, this, and then
WandaVision. They were filming it. COVID happened. They shut down. They went, and then they had that. They actually had that time the same way WandaVision did. So they've actually gone and changed some stuff around. And obviously, I don't believe it affected. There was a lot of questions of people saying, "Well, as happens with Marvel films, there tends to be connections with stuff." And because of Black Widow, people were concerned, like, "Well, do you have to see Black Widow before you're going into here?" And obviously, there's no evidence yet. And I think if they ever had that idea, they've changed it.
Oh yeah.
But we don't know if they will, and we may or may not find out if they do.
I think they brought in Zack Snyder too to Yeah, so that was the first episode. Yep. The New World, or New World Order.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy this. We're going to keep going with this as we've done before. And you will be hearing that podcast for episode 2 soon. But in between that one and this one you just heard, we happen to watch a little short film, that's out now on HBO Max called the Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yeah, Justice League.
We've watched it. And so we're going to give a podcast on that too.
It was only like 2.5 hours.
Uh-oh, you may have watched the wrong film.
What?
All right, so we're going to talk about that in between, give you something else to listen to. Yes, we go from, you know, having nothing happen last week other than putting out a mini-cast, which you surely should listen to, now we got to put out 2 podcasts
We go from nothing last year.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last year.
And now we're like, all right, there's 7 podcasts this week. Yep. So hopefully you're listening. Let us know. Again, please give us some feedback. We just would have it so we know that you guys are out there.
We love
listening
it.
And if you can give a review, just click on that 5-star review. That, if nothing else, that helps bring in new listeners.
Unless it's a 10-star rating system. Don't do that.
It's a 23-star rating system. All right, guys, thanks for listening. I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.